We are so excited to kick off 2023, and I know that that God has something in store, not just today for this service, but God has something for you this year, that as we take the time to put Him first, which is one of the things that each year that we kick off our year, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment with the awakening. It's missing a word up there. Our awakening is a time of prayer, fasting, and devotion that we take and we put God first. But we understand that when we do that, what the scriptures say, if we seek Him first, if we seek Him and His kingdom, then it says that all these other things, everything else that we need, everything else that we're believing for, everything else that is around, that if we'll put Him first, seek Him first in every area, that we know that He'll take care of all the rest. And so we're so thankful to have you here. I know last Sunday was officially the first Sunday of 2023, but this is our first service of 2023. And so we're so glad that you're here with us. Cut just real briefly as far as announcements. If you are maybe visiting here with Life Church for the first time, or you're with us online for the first time, you can go to our website and click on the connection. If you're here, we have connection cards in person as well as our app. If you, when you came, there's a QR code. But we just want to welcome you and say thank you for coming, being a part of our service today. And we've been just believing God to do something here that will last more than a moment, but that will carry you into not just this week, this month, but this year. And so if you take a moment to fill that out, let us know, turn that in. We have a gift we'd love to give you and just say thank you for being here. And if Life Church is your home church, just want to say thank you for your faithfulness. And one of the things that we do, also talking about putting God first, we do that in every area. And we do our worship through our giving as well. And so if you're here and kicking off your year, we have envelopes that you can use for whether it's cash or check. If you anyone uses that anymore, I don't know, but you also can give online or through our text to give, which is one of the easiest ways, through the 925-380-1713 number. So we just encourage you to continue to be faithful. You know, I'll be sharing here in the next couple of weeks a little bit more about how your giving's made a difference, but as we were calculating some of the things that in each year with what we call our 360 giving, our outreach or missions giving, and each year our goal is to do a little bit beyond and stretch us even more. And this year, just through our one giving through our organization, Open Bible Churches, we will have given over $50,000 as a church. And so I'll share a little bit, but we sponsor missionaries in Cuba and in India. We an orphanage as well in India. We built two houses. We are helping with a camp in Costa Rica for at-risk kids. So all of those things, as you're faithful that and you're giving, that we do all that we can to be faithful in trying to make a difference down the street, across the border, and around the world. And so thank you for your generosity and your faithfulness. If you came prepared to give at the end of our service, ushers are available as well. So as Pastor Mary Lou mentioned, today is the kickoff of Awakening. I know there's going to be some here that are, I have no idea what that means, and others of you that have been around for years, and you know that 21 days of prayer, fasting, and devotion is really the thing that we do to start our year off right. We believe for us to have the best year in any way, it requires us to have the best year spiritually, because you are made a body, soul, and spirit, that there's three parts. And so a lot of times we try to address things just from a physical or a natural and not prioritize the spiritual. And so the awakening allows us to take that moment, that no better way to start our year. And the challenge for all of us, everyone just say all of us. So we're going for 100% engagement here. All right. So everyone just wave your hand at me. All right. So I'm just, you're all signing up right now. All right. So here's what we do. Here's what we prioritize, or here's how we look at this year, is that we want to give God the beginning, the first fruits, the start of our year. And so the way we do that is really this dedication of 21 days. Nothing super spiritual or magical or anything about 21 days. You'd see it in the book of Daniel about their fasting. And there's times throughout history. In fact, the church, it's always been a regular part of the Christian faith. You have communion, you have prayer, you have fasting, you have baptism, different things. But it's one of those areas that Christians do. And here's the premise. So when we talk about prayer, so we want to encourage you to intentionally spend time with God. Whatever you may do now, whatever that is, we would encourage you to stretch yourself to do just a little bit more. On Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 o'clock, we have the worship centers open. If you want a place that you can come and just worship, we just have some worship music playing. It's not a structured time, but it's available for you to be able to come and just seek God and spend time with God. So that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that opportunity for prayer to connect with God. So encouraging you to do that. You know, Matthew, it says this, and I share this each year, but it doesn't say if you pray, it doesn't say if you give, and it doesn't say if you fast. What it says in Matthew, it says that when you pray, when you fast, and when you give, meaning it is the practice that we do those things because that's what God's called us to do, but it also is the thing that helps us connect with God as we're obedient in that. And so whatever that is for prayer, the prayer fasting, now that's the part that kind of freaks people out. So you're like, what is fasting? And you know, you hear the buzzword right now is intermittent fasting. Anyone heard that? All right. That's great. But I just want you to know we're doing it for a spiritual purpose. All right, so you might be trying to get your cleanse on or whatever, which is fine. Or trying to lose weight, that's great too. All of that stuff is fine. But we really do that for an intentional purpose, and it's this purpose right here. I'm going to disconnect from something so I can connect to him. That I'm going to give up or I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to let go of something that I enjoy or that's important to me. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to disconnect from that so I can connect even in a greater way with God. And so over the next 21 days, and I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not saying do what I do. I'm not saying do what somebody else does. But here's what, in Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 58, the fast that the Lord has called us to, meaning that God, I believe, will speak to your heart. And maybe there's something that you know that is a habit, something that you do or have every day. You know, for some people over the years, it's been like coffee. I'm going to give up coffee for 21 days. No amens. All right, I didn't know if that would just float that one out there by there. Other people, it might be sweets, that they're not going to have any sugar for 21 days. Other people, social media, that they're, you know, I'm going to just put that clutter away. I'm going to disconnect from that for 21 days so that I'll take that same time and I'll connect to God instead. But the true part of fasting is really has to do with food and giving up food, and whether that's a meal a day or a week or multiple meals or whatever that looks like for you, but you disconnect from that, feeding your natural self, whatever that might be, Diet Cokes, coffee, sugar. When my kids were younger, it was video games. Come on, parents, that they would fast from or limit that time. But something that I disconnect from, so I can that I can connect even greater. And so, in fact, on our website, if it's not there yet, it should be by the end of the day. We have just a ton of resources about what prayer, fasting, and devotion looks like. We'll have resources for a devotion for you. We'll have patterns for prayer that you can use, like how do I pray every day if I'm going to pray for a, you know, 10 minutes a day, what are the things? And so we'll have a resource on our website for that as well as different types of fasting. So one of the most popular ways of fasting is looking at what it would be called the Daniel's fast. And you'd see this in Daniel chapter 1 where it says that they put aside the choice foods. So what that really meant was no meat, no sweet. Apparently no dairy, my wife told me too, so my milk is done. But things like that, that you'd say, you know what, I'm going to intentionally disconnect from that so I can connect with God. And for 21 days, we elevate our PQ, which is our prayer quotient, and connect with God. And so I don't know where you're at. You might have come this morning like, I had no idea that you do this. That sounds weird and awkward to me, and don't bug me. You know, that's fine. But I would encourage you to just try to do something that you don't do normally, to try to connect with God over these next 21 days. And I believe as we give God the beginning of our year, that he'll bless the rest of our year. Amen? Is that good? Everyone just nod your heads. Everyone just say, I'm in. All right. So at whatever level, all right, at whatever level. Lord, as we look to a new year, a fresh start, a new beginning, God, may we not enter in carrying the same weight and baggage, the same hang-ups and the same issues, but God, may we walk into a new year filled with faith, filled with hope, Lord, believing you to do something even greater than we could ever imagine. And we just dedicate the next 21 days in a specific way to you, to your kingdom, and to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So just so you know, for the Nortune household, it starts after lunch today. Come on, somebody. So I see tacos in my future or something like that. But then we're done. But hey, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We'll be there in just a moment, or if you follow along digitally on your phone or however you do that. Of course, we'll also have our scriptures up on the screen as well too. And so today I'm going to kick off a series that we will mirror really what our awakening looks like and what some of the key elements of that. And so, in fact, you could go back to previous years, and I think last year we really spent significant time about what prayer looks like and how to do that, but this time I'm going to really talk the perspective. I'm going to call the series Step by Step, but it's really about how we get to follow God, and we're going to look at an example of a person who followed God, who had some highs and some lows, had some good choices and some poor choices, but the Bible elevates him in a posture, in a way that is not seen, and that if we'll grasp and understand a little bit of his journey, I think it'll help our journey in our walk in with God. And so I was reading in this last week some different leadership blogs, I guess you'd say, and podcasts, listening to some different ones. And one of the ones I listened to, this one, or I have this one, Leadership Freak is what it's called. But he had this challenge. And I, it just made me start thinking about things. But in your opinion, if you look to 2023, what would be the one thing that you would say for you in your life, your situation, your family, whatever? What would make 2023? What will 2023? Or how will 2023 be a success? 2023 will be a success if fill in the blank. Well, what is that area, that thing that you feel like, man, if this were to happen, or if this is experienced in this year, then I'll see it as a success. Now, he goes on, he talks about how New Year's resolutions are so often a waste of our time, because we start out strong and then we don't finish. But he really brought this perspective that what we should do is clarify our life's direction. Where do I want to be? Where do I want to end? Not what do I want to change, what do I want to do, but really, where am I heading? And if you choose the right course, then your New Year's resolutions aren't a waste of time. It's the idea of where are we heading? One of my favorite phrases is this: it's that I'm shooting for progress and not perfection. Come on now. That how can I move forward? I know I'm going to make mistakes. I know I'm going to do things that maybe I wish I wouldn't have done later, but can I make progress? Can I move forward and not be hung up on everything being perfect? And so we're choosing a destination where we want to go. So the question really is this: before you ask, what should I do? What should I do differently this year? The question really is, where do I want to be? Where do I want to go spiritually? Where do I want to go in my relationships, in my family, or with my spouse? Where do I want to be? And so it's not what I want to do as much as where I want to, or what I want to be. And so that's this idea, though, that takes a long-term picture with daily decisions, daily disciplines. And that's a little bit of what the awakening does for us, that something that I do today really affects tomorrow. Craig Rochelle is coming out with a new book about change, and he put it this way. He says that hope is not a strategy, it's a habit. That it's not just something I hope for, but there's this discipline of habit that I learn to be before I learn to do. And that's really what the Bible teaches us, that it's who we are, then it becomes an expression of what we do comes out of who we are and who he is. And so as we walk through this journey over the next few weeks in our series, what are the steps that we're taking? What is the direction that we're heading? And a theme verse out of Psalm 37, verse 23, talks about this. It says that the steps of a righteous person are ordered or are directed by God. That if we choose to honor him, to please him, to follow him, that he'll literally direct our steps, our path. That I don't have to guess. I don't have to try to be in control. And I'm the worst. Now, and we'll go somewhere like this a week ago. We drove back and forth to Southern California because our we were scheduled on Southwest. Come on, somebody. 11 flights. Chaos. We ended up driving back and forth. And but when we head down there, I have my wife go to whatever it is, Waze or Google Maps or IMAPS, whatever you choose, it doesn't matter. But what happens is they always, they give you like point A to point B, and my problem is I don't believe it. I want to try to say, okay, well, that's that. Can we do this? And trying to get, you know, they often give you options and say, you can take this route, come on up, but it's going to take you, you know, 2 minutes longer. So then I have to assess, okay, so if Waze is saying 2 minutes longer, if I drive a little faster, well, so I don't do that, but I try to control the direction or the path that I'm taking, that I should just say, that's the way I should just do it. But I'm always trying to figure out the shortcut, the faster way. And no one's like that. I'm sure I'm the only one in the room. But I feel like we, I, often do that even in life. My walk with God, with my some of the disciplines, like what's the easiest way? What's the fastest way? What's the shortest way? And the journey that we're on isn't about fast, isn't about easy, isn't about shortcuts. Really, this journey of life is really the quality of our life, making the best decisions, heading in the best way. Yeah, 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 I could cut corners here, and I might be able to save some time here, or I might be able to do something like this. No one will know this, but really the picture is, God, would you direct and order my steps? So that's what I'm praying, that God will direct each and every one. As we put him first, as we seek him, that we'll experience him changing who we are, not just what we do, but that he'll direct our steps in every way we go. And so this guy named Abraham, his name is Abram at first, and it gets changed. But there's some things that God takes him on a journey. God leads him from where he's at to where God wants him to ultimately be, the destination, the direction, the path, the steps. He's saying, you're here now, but I'm calling you to be there. And for each and every one of us, there's this call that God has this plan, this destination, this direction for us to head. And we can learn from Abram in this journey, but understanding that ultimately God is wanting to direct every step that we take. And so God's inviting us to trust him, to surrender to him totally, not just partially, but totally surrendering to him, to be all in. That might be another way to look at our series, is like, how do I live all in? Like no holding back, no reservations, but all in my opportunity to follow God. So the life of Abram is really a very significant story, and he's an incredible figure in the Old Testament, actually, and in life. It'd be difficult for you to overestimate how important he is in the Bible and in Scripture, that he's going to teach us some things, that we're going to see how God works in him and through him and for him that relate very specifically to each and every one of us. And so understanding him helps us also understand how God relates to us, or how we can also relate to God. And the thing I love about Abraham is he wasn't perfect, but he made progress. And so the same thing is that we understand that God wants to use us, God wants to work in us, but God also wants to work through us. That so many people are looking for significance, looking for purpose, and they look in all these different ways, and we'll talk a little bit about this, but ultimately, God's plan is he wants your life to be significant. He wants your purpose in life to be meaningful, that your life counts, that it's not just punching a clock and getting a paycheck, but there's something even further and beyond that God wants to do. And so we look at that. And so for Abraham, we see in throughout the Scriptures how God views him. In fact, in Isaiah, and you can just keep your finger there in Genesis, but in Isaiah, there's a passage where God speaks, and he talks about Abraham, and he says this in verse 8 of chapter 41. It says, "But as for you, Israel, my servants, Jacob, my chosen one, descendants from Abraham, my friend." That God himself, he looks at Abraham, and he says, that dude was my friend. That guy wasn't just one of the many, but he is a friend of mine. That relationship that he has, that's described as a friend, that is the same relationship. In fact, it's the same promise that's made to you and to I, that we can have that. And so God looks at Abraham. In fact, throughout Scriptures, you'll hear him referred to by people as the father of the faithful, or the father of the faith. That you see that in Hebrews chapter 11, in Romans chapter 4, it said that he believed God and it was credited to him as faith. And because of that, that God called him a friend, that God saw his faithfulness and he calls him his friend. And so there's this opportunity that we get to see. I mean, think about that. If the God, the creator of the universe, looked at you and you could see or hear or know that hey, that's my friend. And the amazing thing is that's exactly, come on now, what Jesus said about you and I, that when we cross that line and we follow him, he's like, you're not just my, you're not servants, you're my friends. And he goes even further, not just my friends, but it says that we're adopted into his family. So we go beyond being friends, we're part of his family. And Abraham helps us understand all that. But this idea, and I just thinking about the picture of being a friend. Now think about your friends, or friends you've had in the past, or different people that you would say, hey, they're my friend. And what does that mean? What does that look like? A person that's a friend with somebody, literally it means that they're in relationship together at some level. So it's not a one-sided deal. That if you have a friend, I hope anyways, that they would call you their friend if you would call them your friend. Does that make sense? Help me out. Yeah. So friend doesn't mean I have a friend, but I don't really know them. They don't ever talk to me. I text them. They don't ever text back, but that's what my kids do. But anyways, the idea is that there's a friend that you kind of, that you talk to, that you know a little bit about their life, and you share different experiences at different times. There's the opportunity that a friend is much more than an acquaintance, much more than just a follower. A friend is somebody that actually likes each other. Come on now. They maybe know a little bit more than others would know. They share maybe certain common interests. They want to spend time together. They actually would help each other. That they needed something. If they were moving, come on, somebody, that you know you're a friend. When somebody says, hey, will you help me move? It's like, oh, when is that? Because whenever it is, I'm pretty sure I'm busy. But whatever that looks like, that this relationship that God describes himself as this friend, what is it about a person that God would say, when I talk to him about other people, that guy is my friend. And so we understand that friendships aren't fickle. They don't come and go. That, in fact, Proverbs 17:17 says this, that friends love at all times. That there's never a time when you're in relationship or you're friends with somebody that there's that love is broken. And when you speak about God, it's the idea that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so Abraham sets the pattern. And the reality of this, if you read out of Matthew chapter, at the beginning of Matthew, the first chapter, it starts off with all these genealogy. The father of this is the son of them, and they're the son of the, that he traces who Jesus is all the way back to Abraham. So Abraham introduces us to this principle that gets carried through and Jesus fulfills, and there's this promise that God makes Abraham, that he makes to you and I, that we are inheriting the same promise that God had for him. And so we are then spiritual descendants. And God, I love this picture that in Isaiah where it talks about him calling Abraham his friend. It goes on in the next verses, in fact, verses 10 and 11. After he says, Abraham is my friend, Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, so don't be afraid, for I am with you. Everyone say with you. I just want you to know how God treats his friends, all right? So he's talking to Israel, children of Israel, he's talking about his friend Abraham, and because of him, he says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So here's a promise that he makes to his friends. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to help carry you. I'm going to walk with you. And verse 11 says, see all of your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. That's really cool. But what we see is that God says that as a friend, that he's taking care of, he's looking out for, he's protecting. And those are promises that we get to walk in 2023, that we get to experience that kind of promise, that we are part of this family of God and his friend. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. And Abraham is showing us this, how we get to relate to God and what God does. But Abram, which is what his name is here, simply means this, father. In Hebrew, it means father. But here's the irony. His name is Abram. It means father. When we're going to pick up the story, he's 75 years old. So he's been around for a while. He's been around the block a little bit. He's lived life. He's 75 years old. And when we pick up the story, he doesn't have any children, but yet his name means father. Later on, we'll read this over the next couple of weeks, that God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And Abraham means father of many. So he went from Abram, just being father, to the father of many. But he's still childless. He doesn't have any children. And it's almost like as if life is playing a joke on him. Like, this is my name. I went from being daddy to big daddy. Come on, somebody. I went from, you know, being just a father to a father of many. But yet I have no children with me. And we're going to read this story here in Genesis chapter 12, that God makes a promise that you're going to be a father of many nations, of a great nation. But yet his name says something that he's not experiencing. He's anticipating something that's not reality. He's living a way in life that doesn't measure up to what he had hoped for or what he expected. It wasn't the moment at this time that he was experiencing that God had this destiny of eternal significance for him, the same that he has for us. And you look around and you think that man, I want my life to count. I want to make a difference. I want to have significance. And God wants all those things. And you look around and you don't see that. And that's where Abraham is at, that he's has this name, this outlook, this destiny, but yet he's not experiencing that. He has this walk that's towards this significance, but he's not experiencing that. It's the same path that we have to walk, that
in Romans chapter 4, if you read more of it, it talks about that he had this promise. He didn't see it, but he still believed God. He walked in faith. And so we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 12. The story doesn't actually begin there. Let me give you a little bit of context before we read Genesis chapter 12 in the first few verses. Genesis chapter 12 follows Genesis chapter... Come on now. I knew you could figure that one out. Genesis chapter 11, for many of you, you'll know the story, and it's called the Tower of Babel. And it's at this juncture that Abraham's going to follow the Tower of Babel incident. And let me just read this real quick. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but in chapter 11, verse 1, it says this: at one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. That there was one universal language. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia, and they settled there. Most would look at this, and what they're going to build is in Babylon, which is the city where the most heathen, most worldly people would live. But they began saying to each other, here's what they said: hey, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Verse 4, then they said, come, let's build a great city, what, for ourselves, it says. So they have this dream that they want to build something, this great city, not for God, not to proclaim who he is, but they want to build it as a trophy unto themselves. But let's build this tower that reaches into the sky, or the translation is really that we could reach God, that we don't need him. We could build something with bricks. Our bricks could make us, you know, the Lego brick masters. Come on now. We could build a Lego so big that we could reach heaven, that we could reach God, that they could build this great city for themselves. And it goes on, it says, and reach to God, and this will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. So they have this perspective of living for themselves, making a name for themselves, about being inward. But the Lord came down, and he looked at the city, the tower, the people that they were building, and look, he said, the people are united and they speak the same language. And after this, nothing they set out to, the power of unity, nothing will be impossible for them. So let's come down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. And it's at this point that things are scattered, where different languages are instituted in the Bible. And you see this idolatry, this self-interest changes. And God spreads them out, and he's helping them understand that they're missing the mark, that they're living in a way that is causing them to experience a spiral away from God. And they're living in a time that is dark, that is full of idolatry, full of people that are feeding their flesh, living for themselves. And it's the darkest moment in time. And it's at that moment, when it was the darkest, that God shows up and he says, you know what? I have something better. I have a better plan, a better purpose for those that are following me, those that are willing to pursue me. And we don't know how Abraham experiences God, but we know that he does, and something changes his heart and opens his heart, because he's living in a moment where it seems like the darkness is trying to overtake the light. That the society and the culture they lived in seemed to be getting worse, seemed to be getting darker, more angry, more hate-filled, more strife and stress. I don't know if that might ring a bell to anybody. And it was at that moment that God shows up on the scene and says, you know what? I'm going to give a promise in one of the darkest, dreariest, worst times. And I'm going to allow this family to experience my blessing in a way they never dreamed possible. Because everyone's running from God, and he shows up and says, if you'll run towards me, then the things that you really want, the things that you really need, the things that you really desire, I am the answer. I am what you're looking for. And if you read further in verse 31, it talks about his father, Abram's father, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, both their names are changed, and his grandson Lot, and they move away from Ur to the Chaldeans. He was headed for a land of Canaan, but here, verse 31, but they stopped at Haran, and they settled there. So here's the story. Abraham's father was supposed to take them to Cana, and instead of getting there, they stopped halfway. What's the picture? God had promises for them, but they lived their life below God's plan. And for us, so many shortcuts, so many ways that we try to get to where we think we want to be, that they say, but you know what? There is a plan and a purpose for you that is greater than what you know. Don't settle. Church, listen to me. Don't settle with where you're at. God has something more for each and every one of us, that there's something greater. Don't stop. Don't settle. Don't compromise. Don't be content with less than what God really desires for you. And so that leads us into this. And let me just real quickly give you a couple questions that I think we should ask in order for us to walk the same journey of being a friend of God, being a people of faith, being people that are experiencing God's promises. Verse 12, it says that the Lord, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, the Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father, your family, and go to the land that I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. And he says, I'll bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing. Everyone say, be a blessing. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to others. I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. In the darkest of time, where it seemed like it was going downward spiral, I'm going to cause you, your family, to be a blessing in the darkness. I'm going to cause you to be ones that bring light and hope. And it goes on in verse 4. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he had left Haran. And we'll talk about the kid thing in the next couple of weeks. But he takes his wife and his nephew, and they head out, and they head towards the destination. They took steps. They began to go to the place that God was calling them to. That God was offering their family a new beginning. And church, I actually feel like that's the word of the Lord for us. It's a new year, so that's a natural perspective. But in the darkest and most difficult and challenging and frustrating times, of uncertainties and of unknowns, of inflation and all whatever you can think of, at those moments is when God shines the brightest. And he shines through people like you and for me. And so God's offering them a new beginning, a new start, a fresh start, the opportunity to experience him in a way that they never have. And here's a couple questions that I would just encourage you to ponder as we kick off our awakening. The first thing is, when we look at the life of Abraham over the next couple of weeks, the question of, am I really following God? Or the question that I would write down is the second part of that, of, have I really fully surrendered? Have I fully surrendered to God? Here's the crazy thing. You read that, and God says, go to a place that I'm going to show you. It's like, leave now, find out where later. So what's the natural response to that? It's like, okay, I'm going to leave now, and then God promises to open up later. So go to the land that I will show you later. When? Later. So our response is, well, when? God's answer is, later. They're saying, but where? And God says, later. But I want to know how. And God says, later. That we don't maybe know all the whens and where's the hows. But here's the promise, and here's the title of my message, that we just follow him. John Calvin summarized it in a way that I love. In fact, you can just stand with me as we close here. John Calvin summarized the call of Abraham on his life this way. He said, just close your eyes and take my hand. The idea is, I don't know when, I'll find out later. I want to know. In fact, when God promises him a son, after some waiting, he's like, well, how is this going to happen? Later. Just wait. Trust me. And John Calvin's perspective of just close your eyes and take his hand, I think paints a beautiful picture that we can say yes to God and to following him and not know what tomorrow holds, not know the answer, but I close my eyes and I take his hands and I say yes to him, that I fully surrender, that there's nothing that I would hold back. It's not the what, but the who that I trust in. It's not the where, but the who that I'm following, the opportunity. And the second question that we would look at is where is my security, or what do I trust the most, or who do I trust in the most? And that's a question, I think, as we follow him and if we want to walk on that path, is we know that I have to trust him, that I follow him, I fully surrender, that I find my security and my trust in him and in him alone, not in my checking account, not in my relationships, not in my children, not in my spouse, but in him and him alone. But the powerful part of this story is really, he says, I'm going to do this in the darkest of times and the questions and all that, but I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. Church 2023, God's blessed every single one of you. Some of you feel like, nah, but you don't know this, and I'm going through this, and my kids are going through this, and I don't have this. I promise you, God has blessed you. And he's blessing you so that you can hoard it for yourself. No, he wants to bless you so that you can what? Be a blessing to others. And I'll unwrap that a little bit more next week, out of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about that he gives us seed to sow. And we have the choice to whether we eat that or we bless that with others. Let me just pray with you the opportunity to trust him, to follow him, to find my security in him, but to say, you know what, God, I'm going to live for your kingdom in your way. That's really the third question. Whose kingdom are you living for? And this week I've heard this song several times, and I just want to pray over you in closing. This phrase, there's a who is it? Maverick City has a song. I think it's Fear Is Not My Future is what the name of it is. But in the song, they list these things. Then they say, fear is not my future. And then it says, sin is not my story. Heartbreak is not my home. And after each one of them, it says, faith or fear is not my future. You are. Sin is not my story. You are. That heartbreak is not my story, but there's not who I am, but not my home. You are the opportunity. And I want you to know that the journey that you're on, faith is not your future. Heartbreak is not your home. And sin is not who you are. That we are his friends, that we follow him, and that the path he has for us, the opportunities, the dreams, the destinies, the design, he is your future. Just like Abraham left his home, gave up everything he had, walked away from it all, it's exactly what Jesus did for us. He left his home, gave up everything so that we could experience forgiveness, healing, hope when I surrender to him. So Lord, this morning as we close our time, but I thank you for the promise of Abraham, which is really our promise, that you would be blessing us so that we can bless others, that you would work in us and through us, that you would guide us, you would protect us. And so God, today as we kick off a new year, I'm so thankful that, Lord, that sin is not my story, that fear is not my future. You are. And for some of you in this room, we sang about it earlier, that there's freedom for you. There are decisions that we make that we maybe either done to us or by our own choices that we carry, we walk in, but those are not who you are, but you are who God says you are, that you are his child. He calls us his friends. And so today, Lord, we surrender to you. God, we dedicate 2023 to you. That we put you first so that you can guide, bless, and direct every step. And that, Lord, that as you bless us, we make a promise that, Lord, that we'll share your love, your light, Lord, whatever resource, whatever we can do to be a blessing to others, to bring your light to a world that's searching for hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing as we close.